This is the Hoosier Ag Today Monday podcast. Good morning on the 12th of May, 2025. I'm Andy Eubank, and CJ Miller and Gary Truitt have the news today. All brought to you by First Farmers Bank and Trust, proudly serving local farms, families, and agribusiness for 140 years. Visit them online, ffbt.com, to learn more. Coming up in the news, an important week for a new farm bill this week, and EPA thresholds that are putting a damper on biofuels. We'll explain. Hat Chief Meteorologist Ryan Martin predicts more unsettled weather this week following the perfect Mother's Day weekend weather. And the Friday corn and bean markets worked higher while wheat liquidated ahead of today's USDA WASDE report. We'll have a preview of that with Brian Basting analysis. Coming up on the Hoosier Ag Today Monday podcast.
As a farmer, you plant millions of seeds every spring. You know that tomorrow's harvest depends on today's hard work, knowledge, and care. At First Farmers, we recognize that today's seed is tomorrow's success in both farming and finance. If you're looking for a bank that has been committed to agriculture for over 135 years and has the experience to prove it, let's talk. Learn more at ffbt.com or stop by your local branch. First Farmers Bank and Trust, Equal Opportunity Lender, Member FDIC.
Considering a career in agriculture, Michigan State University's Institute of Agricultural Technology offers in-state tuition rates for students from Indiana and beyond. With programs like Ag Operations, Forest Technology, and Food Processing, MSU IAT prepares career-ready graduates in 2 years. Our certificate programs are designed to launch your students' future in agriculture. Take the first step at iat.msu.edu.
It's do or die week for the Farm Bill and pushing EPA to relax its regulatory burdens on biofuels. I'm CJ Miller, and this is Hoosier Ag Today News. Well, it may be do or die this week for a new Farm Bill. Our Gary Truitt was in Washington, D.C. last week and has this report on what the future might look like for passing a new farm bill.
The farm bill that has been long delayed by partisan bickering is now being sliced and diced, with the big dollar programs being put into the budget reconciliation bill. The proposed Farm Bill safety net package includes roughly $50 billion for crop reference prices, as well as money for crop insurance, dairy, livestock, biosecurity, and export trade promotion. Ted McKinney with the National Association of State Departments of Agriculture and former Undersecretary of Agriculture admits this is not the best way to write farm policy, but it may be the only way to get farm programs funded.
You better take what you can and get it while the opportunity is there, and then hope and pray that people will come together with the remnants. It's not the ideal way. I'll be the first to say that, but it may be the only way right now, Gary.
Many I spoke with in Washington fear that conservation programs may suffer the most or even be left out of the final bill as lawmakers try to find dollars to fund nutrition programs in order to secure more Democratic support. The Farm Bill markup is scheduled for Tuesday, but the situation is very fluid as GOP leaders are still scrambling to find enough support to pass the legislation. If there is a bright spot in all of this, McKinney says it's finally bringing some fiscal responsibility to the Farm Bill.
The government finally is doing what farmers have had to do for a long time. Quit spending and get your books in order. And it's too doggone bad that it's taken this long.
Programs that do not get included in this Farm Bill may face an uncertain future. Several farm leaders I spoke with said they are not optimistic that some of these programs will ever see the light of day. I'm Gary Truitt.
When you call Keystone, you're not just making a connection. You're dialing into service, solutions, and success. We're not just here to meet today's needs. We're building for tomorrow, advancing technology, growing opportunities, and driving innovation with the best team in the Midwest. Keystone is more than a business. It's a commitment to our farmer owners, our rural communities, and the future we're all cultivating together. Call the co-op that leads, serves, grows, and embraces the cooperative advantage.
Well, Indiana is home to 15 ethanol plants and one biodiesel facility. And they certainly use a lot of corn and soybeans produced by Indiana farmers. But you might not know that our federal government has placed a limit on the amount of corn-based ethanol and soy-based biodiesel that can be produced and blended with our petroleum-based fuel supply. Those amounts are set by the Environmental Protection Agency.
In 2023, the EPA set the RVOs, the renewable volume obligations, in the renewable fuel standard for 3 years. And what they set them at, it ended up being about 3.2 billion gallons.
And that's David Cobb with Clean Fuels Alliance America talking specifically about the EPA's threshold for blending biodiesel with petroleum-based diesel. He says that EPA's current thresholds are putting a huge damper on the entire biofuels industry.
We ended up producing about 5.1 billion gallons, and so there's a 2 billion gallon difference there in the amount that we produced and the amount that they require to be blended. And so it creates a lack of balance there. It's left a lot of supply out on the market. So it's resulted in some of our members going out of business. Many have idled their plants. Some are just producing the bare minimum right now.
Cobb says they're urging EPA to significantly increase the amount of biofuels allowed to be blended in 2026 to no less than 15 billion gallons for conventional ethanol and 5.25 billion gallons for biomass-based diesel.
We're waiting for some solid good news from the EPA, and we expect to see volumes for 2026. And we have gone in to EPA and other places in the administration asking for that volume to be increased to 5.25 billion gallons for 2026. So it'll be a huge increase, but it would be in line with our actual production and actual access to feedstocks like soybean oil.
Read more at HoosierAgToday.com. I'm C.J. Miller, Hoosier Ag Today, Indiana's Farm Network.
Your check, your cooperative. As a farmer-owned lender, Farm Credit Mid-America shares the success of the cooperative with our customers, which is why we've returned more than $1.5 billion back to our customer owners over the last 9 years. It's proof being part of our cooperative pays. Patronage is an annual decision made by the Board of Directors to return earnings to eligible customers. To learn more about patronage and eligibility, visit fcma.com/patronage.
I'm Chief Meteorologist Ryan Martin with Hoosier Ag Today's Indiana Farm Forecast. After a gorgeous weekend, we're going to be a little bit more unsettled as we move through this week. Let's start to talk through it. We're starting things off here today with a cutoff area of low pressure slowly trying to meander through the deep south. It moved across the lower Mississippi River Valley overnight last night. The low now trying to sit over Mississippi, Alabama, western Tennessee, and it's just not moving east very fast. That means we're looking at a circulation coming around that low, similar to what we saw last week with that slow moving low here. And so that means we're going to be seeing circulating clouds around that. Eventually they lift north into Indiana. I think we're seeing that here later this afternoon into this evening. Those clouds then can create a little bit of on again, off again shower activity through today and this afternoon in areas from US 50 southward, I-70 southward, probably through the sunset hours. And then after sunset, I wouldn't be surprised to see a few showers meandering on up through northern Indiana. It's definitely going to be a cloudier day here with building clouds through your Monday. Then we see these clouds just continuing to kind of sit here through Tuesday. I won't rule out some hit and miss scattered showers Tuesday night into early Wednesday. I think we're finally done with all of this by the time we get done with Wednesday. Thursday looks sunny, warm, and dry with southwest flow dominating, but that's ahead of our next frontal boundary that wants to come through overnight Thursday night into Friday. Showers and thunderstorms there. So I think there are going to be parts of the state that can string together 2, 3, 4 dry days, but there are others that are see only a day or two in between hit and miss scattered showers. I can tell you that none of the precipitation looks to be over the top. I think combined for the week, most of Indiana can see probably 3/4 of an inch to an inch tops, so that's not going to be a massive problem. We do see drying come in over the weekend, and then going into next week, we should be dry Monday the 19th, and then Tuesday the 20th, our next frontal boundary comes through. So if I'm going to string together 3 to 4 dry days, it will be in that Friday late afternoon, evening through Saturday, Sunday, and early Monday time frame. Tuesday, we can see anywhere from 1/4 to 1.5 inches of rain, some strong thunderstorms embedded in there. Dry behind that for the second half of next week. I think we'll have to watch for a little bit of moisture trying to come in over the Memorial Day holiday weekend, particularly Sunday night into Memorial Day itself. That's quite a ways down the line yet. That's the way your forecast is stacking up. I'm meteorologist Ryan Martin.
Planting season is here, and Beacon Credit Union is proud to stand beside the farmers who make it all happen. We're here to help with flexible lines of credit, equipment financing, and real estate loans built for your operation. At Beacon, it's ag people serving ag people, committed to your success in every season. Start at beaconcu.org. Insured by ASI, not federally insured EHO lender.
Attention construction pros. Purple Wave Auction brings quality equipment to your fingertips. Join our bi-weekly online auctions featuring dozers, excavators, loaders, and more. We provide detailed listings, photos, and seller contact info. Inspect online or in person. With our no reserve policy, every item sells to the highest bidder. Visit purplewave.com today and see why informed builders choose Purple Wave. Transparent processes, real deals, your next great purchase awaits. purplewave.com.
Corn and beans go higher. This is Hoosier Ag Today and the Friday Farm Market Review. I'm Andy Eubank. This update is brought to you by the Purdue Farm Stress Team. Gearing up for another long season can be stressful. Make sure you're taking care of yourself and your mental health this spring. Get more at extension.purdue.edu/farmstress. Final numbers from Friday trade coming up. First market analysis, which I grabbed in the middle of the trading day from Brian Basting of Advanced Trading. With corn and soybeans higher on Friday, let's talk about the reasons why. Brian, short covering, how about bargain buying or positioning ahead of the supply and demand update on Monday? A little of all of that or one thing in particular?
Thanks for having me, Andy. Yes, to all your points above, I think you hit the nail on the head. I'd add one more to the mix, as it were, and that is the U.S.-China initial trade talks scheduled for this weekend. A lot of interest there, of course. As you recall, I believe it was 7 years ago now that the phase one trade agreement with China, of course, back then included substantial amounts of purchases of agricultural products from the U.S. And who knows if anything's even going to get done this time. But that would be enough also, I think, to add into a short covering mentality, particularly in corn. We've seen such a sharp sell-off here lately. But I'd add in, as you said, the WASDE supply-demand report coming out Monday at noon Eastern time, a very important report because it'll give us the first estimates of 25-26 demand projections from USDA and supply projections, but give us an idea what they're thinking in terms of China and so forth. Even that, though, is a bit tenuous, needless to say, Andy, because they don't know any more about what the results may or may not be from the China-U.S. meetings. So, but at least give a foundation to work from, what they're thinking in terms of production, for example, in places like Russia, Ukraine, demand projections for China, some of those destinations. But yeah, we did see a rebound, nice rebound, particularly in beans, and a little bit of a rebound in corn on Friday. Wheat is just feeling heavy with the good crop development we're seeing.
Are you concerned about how the chart looks in corn with that sharp selling that we've seen?
Most definitely. You have to go all the way back to before Christmas, believe it or not, Andy, if your listeners can hearken back to the time when corn was, July corn, for example, was below 450 a bushel. And so it was a really stout rally that we saw there in January and February, and producers did a terrific job of rewarding that rally with a lot of old crop sales into early 25 there. I believe today, Andy, that the producer owns a smaller than normal percentage of inventory from the 24 harvest. We still encourage producers to defend their balance sheet on any remaining inventory. We've seen how important that's been over the last few weeks with the sharp sell-off in prices. And if they're looking to re-own some inventory they sold earlier, this might be an opportunity to do that, in my opinion. But regardless, you're still looking to manage price movement rather than predict price movement. But I think that most definitely, Andy, we're seeing the corn market show some cracks in the demand armor that we built there in January and February. We're still seeing strong export demand for old crop, a very strong export sales report we saw on Thursday, 65 million bushels of old crop corn sold. But this planting pace for the 25 crop, Andy, is accelerating. We certainly hope your listeners get an opportunity with this drier pattern that's forecast to develop to get in there and get quite a bit done here. We realize that the best opportunities the last week or two have been further west, out in even in Illinois, but definitely out in Iowa, Minnesota, those areas, but we certainly hope that that window opens up. But that has also been weighing on that corn market.
As the new week begins, we certainly don't have to wait long to get the supply and demand estimates update from USDA. So that will be nice to get it that quickly in the week, noon Eastern time on Monday. What kinds of things will you be looking at from them?
I like to boil it down, as it were, Andy, to put it all in a kettle, boil it down and look at the ending stocks. Old crop corn, the trade's looking for a little bit of reduction from 1.465 billion bushels in April to 1.445. My hunch is that the USDA could increase the export forecast a bit. However, for new crop, 25-26, the average trade estimate is 2.042 billion bushels, or looked at another way, Andy, that is, let's see, 2042. That is an increase of almost 40% from this year. The beans is kind of stable, Andy. 375 carryout old crop. First estimate for new crop is 380. So again, boil it down. What am I looking for? I'm looking for the ending stocks estimates. I don't think the USDA is going to do a lot with the trend yield estimate in this report on Monday. And that'll leave us with the prospective plantings number and the trend yield estimate forecast production. But the ending stocks will incorporate some demand projections, obviously, for exports. Most importantly, when you look at those foreign production numbers and foreign usage numbers. So let's take a look at that carryout number on Monday for both old and new crop, see how it compares to the range of estimates and the average estimate.
Market commentary from Brian Basting of Advanced Trading. Get Brian at 309-664-2314. On the Hoosier Ag Today, market review up 2.25 on July corn Friday, 449.75. September up 2.75, 429.25. D's 442, a gain of 3.25. July beans, 10.51¾, up 6¾. August, 10.47¼, 7¼ higher. And November, 10.30½, a gain of 0.5¼. July wheat, 5.21¾, 7½ cents lower. It was mixed in the meats. June live cattle up 42, 214.67. The deferred contracts down about $0.50. June lean hogs, 97.57, up 40. I'm Andy Eubank with the Friday Review. This is Hoosier Ag Today, Indiana's most listened to farm network.